Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 5th of September, 2022. I'm joined by Carl.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about Dr. Joe and Mr. Biden, the jihadi police of vice and virtue, and London's machetes of peace, which are mostly peaceful.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally the way that it was being framed, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Mostly peaceful.
Good to know. Otherwise, just want to make an announcement real quick, which is that tomorrow we'll be doing a premium hangout on Europe's only indigenous people. So if you want to come join us, it'll be after the podcast, I believe.
Take a guess who they are.
Yeah, you can go and have a look at the only indigenous group in all of Europe. Thousands of years of history. Only one group is indigenous.
Yeah.
Amazing. But otherwise, we shall get into Dr. Joe and Mr. Biden.
So I like the term Dr. Joe and Mr. Biden because Joe Biden appears to be in the grip of some sort of Jekyll and Hyde transformation. He'll say one terrible thing, and then the next day he'll completely walk it back. And then the apparatus around him will continue saying the terrible thing. And it's like, mate, what is going on with you? And it just makes him look even more like a puppet than he already does. And also, I'm getting kind of concerned about Joe Biden's regime in the United States. Like, it's not normal a year and a half after having ascended to office to still be persecuting your political enemies. Like, you shouldn't be persecuting them at all, but after all of this time, he's still going on about it, and it's like, Joe, what's wrong?
Insecurity.
Yes. Tremendous, profound insecurity. And we interviewed one of the January the 6th prisoners, who are still in jail, for insurrection. And it's like, sorry, I mean, you can go to lotusseats.com, watch this, because these people have been really mistreated. And, okay, you can say, well, they shouldn't have stayed within the velvet ropes as they barged into the Capitol, yelling and messing up Nancy Pelosi's office. And I agree with you. They shouldn't have done that. That was silly.
But why are they still in jail?
Yeah. I mean, there are probably people in, like, socialist countries who don't get this kind of punishment. Like, this is just absurd, and it's obvious that the Biden administration is treating them like, I mean, honestly, like heretics. That's what it's being leveled at them. And this is the main cut and thrust of Biden's speech. It's like, look, there's a war for America's soul going on, which is, again, incidental, because we did a talk with Sebastian Gorka before Biden gave the speech, and he basically was saying the same thing. So look, there are essentially two Americas. One is being birthed out of the old, and it needs to be addressed. If you can go to the next one, John, you can see that and this was a really good interview, because Gorka's on the money on basically everything on this. So let's begin by just having a look at his speech. So this was his Battle for the Soul of the Nation speech in Philadelphia. And obviously,
for people listening, I mean, you've seen the imagery presumably online. But if you haven't, it's just him there with these huge red lights behind him with a couple of military boys as well. I mean, you've just got like the Death Star music or whatever fictional universe you want to pick.
Yeah. I mean, I guess on the Biden side, he's like, yeah, so America's soul needs to be a militaristic dictatorship, because that's what this is putting me in mind of. And I don't know what they thought they were going for. Now, people say, oh, well, hang on a second. It's just bad optics, because if you were to pan out, you'd see that one wall was white, one wall was blue, and one wall was red. It's like, right. I mean, that's an argument.
Number one. Whoever was in charge of the lighting, don't put the red behind the guy speaking.
Yeah.
You would have thought, but
I mean, he's a Democrat, so put the blue. Or the white, if you don't want to look like an evil villain. But anyway, so let's just, let's watch the first sort of 30 seconds. And it just looks so ominous. Fade to America. Blood red.
Please, if you have a seat, take it.
The soldier.
I speak to you tonight.
Yeah.
From sacred ground in America,
Biden
Independence Hall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is where America made its Declaration of Independence to the world more than two centuries ago, with an idea unique among nations, that in America, we're all created equal. This is where the United States Constitution was written and debated. This is where we set in motion the most extraordinary experiment of self-government the world has ever known. With three simple words, we the people, We, the people, these two documents and the ideas they embody, equality and democracy, are the rock upon which this nation is built.
Right. Now, I think that's important because democracy is at no point mentioned in the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. That's a French innovation. And I mean, I think it's first applied to the United States by Montesquieu in his book Democracy in America, where he goes over there and he's like, oh, how does democracy work over here? The Americans don't call themselves a democracy. And this is one of the things that Republicans are like, no, we're a republic. It's like, okay, fine. Frankly, you know, you are. And it wasn't something that they constantly went on about. But also, equality is only mentioned once. And it's not even equality, it's all men are created equal. And this harks back to the sort of, you know, Lockean Enlightenment view that in the state of nature, there are no social hierarchies. So the equality is about your rank in society, not like physically, are you equal, or materially, are you equal, intellectually, are you equal? So equality is actually not the purpose. And he doesn't say the word liberty. That's what the American Republic is founded on, the concept of liberty. And of course, liberty means inequality, necessitates inequality. And so this wasn't like a canard of the founding fathers or something where they were constantly like, oh, we need communism, you know, we need equality. No, they were for freedom, actually.
Could you imagine a world before modern medicine where you're just like, yeah, everyone's basically the same, right? It's like the guy with polio over there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, no one would have said it, right? And so you can see Biden's framing there is not really American framing. What his framing is actually a lot more like the French revolutionaries. You know, democracy and equality being actual sort of like slogans from the French Revolution. So you can see the new democracy being birthed out of the old republic, which is quite concerning. Because again, the idea of the republic, it's decentralized, localized, and it's about protecting the individual with the law. And so this is why you have guns and free speech and all of these other wonderful things in America that you don't get in Europe. And again, the optics. The absolute optics. Like, he looks like he's about to reorganize the American Republic into the first American empire, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen the endless numbers of, you know, fictional images next to this one of people comparing the two. But frankly, I don't really feel like you actually need to. We just show people this image and just be like, so what the hell's going on in America right now?
Well, that was, I saw a lot of people, like, you know, verified check marks being like, I can't believe this isn't a doctored image. And it's Joe Biden with his fists up with like what looks like the Reich Eagle in red behind him. And it's just like, what are you doing? How do you accidentally manage to create optics this terrible?
But also the speech fits the optics.
Yeah, it does.
As he'll go on.
Yeah, well, let's go on to the next clip, actually.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. Now, I want to be very clear up front. Not every Republican, not even the majority of Republicans, are MAGA Republicans. Not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. I know, because I've been able to work with these mainstream Republicans. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country.
Right. Donald Trump and his supporters are a threat to the United States.
And their ideology is extremist. Their ideology being
Republicanism.
Make America great again.
That ideology being, what did the founding fathers say we should do that?
I mean, extremism defined to what? I mean, like, what are you pegging where it's like, oh, we've strayed so far from this? It's not the American Republic that you're pegging it to and saying, oh, you've gone extreme from that. It's like,
yeah. Right? But nobody
returns to tradition.
Nobody made him give this evil looking speech. You know, it's
evil
just
sounding.
Yeah, an evil sounding speech. Just
evil
come out and
intentioned.
Be like, so about a third of the country are evil and they're a threat to the nation and we need to do something about them, says Chancellor Biden. In front of the red Reich Eagle.
Like, I don't know who's in the audience either here. I mean, it sounds like 10 people.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a generous estimation for a Biden speech. But you can just look at the polling, right, and see that when he's like, oh, well, it's, you know, most Republicans don't support Trump. No, actually, they do. Almost all of them do. Like, I mean, at CPAC, 69% of attendees said they preferred Trump as the nominee, and then it was DeSantis at a close second at 24%. But it was like, even if they were like, okay, but if DeSantis can't run, who do you want? Well, probably Trump. Because like when polled, Trump's got like a 95% approval rating in the Republican Party. So Biden is referring to a very small constituency of Republicans.
See, they're the mainstream Republicans, the normal ones I can deal with.
Yes,
the ones
exactly.
Who don't believe in the American Republic.
The Liz Cheneys who are getting deselected because the MAGA folk are frankly on the march. And that's the thing, I think that this is like the impetus that's provoking him to give these sort of speeches. He's trying to drive a wedge between like... you know, the marginalized rhinos and the overwhelming MAGA base. It's like, that's good, because the MAGA base would rather get rid of the rhinos. And they have been actively deselecting them over this sort of thing. And I think this is genuinely getting Biden and the people controlling his teleprompter very, very worried, because it's not like Biden's doing spectacularly, as we'll see in a minute. And so, like, let's have a quick listen to the kind of rhetoric that we got from this, which is just remarkable.
I believe America is at an inflection point, one of those moments that determine the shape of everything that's to come after. And now, America must choose to move forward or to move backwards, to build a future or obsess about the past, to be a nation of hope and unity and optimism, or a nation of fear, division, and of darkness.
Woo, fear.
MAGA Republicans have made their choice. They embrace anger. They thrive on chaos. They live not in the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies. But together, we can choose a different path. We can choose a better path forward to the future. A future of possibility, a future to build and dream and hope. And we're on that path moving ahead.
I mean, it's cuckoo, isn't it?
It's deranged.
I love it. The sentence structure at the start there was also just didn't make any sense. Mm. Because he was like, oh, well, we could look to a future that's obsessed with the past, but full of hope and freedom. And it's like, oh, crap, you didn't
yeah,
put in the bit there that's like, this is what I want. No, you're actually laying out the ones who are obsessed with the path will have... what is it? Freedom, hope, and fear. But
even giving him the most charitable interpretation, what I love here is like, yeah, so on one hand, there's good things and fluffy bunnies and chocolate. And on the other hand...
the shadow of darkness.
Yeah,
exactly. Don't look behind me.
On the other hand, there's just evil and Mordor and suffering. And that's what the MAGA Republicans... You should see their manifesto. It's just that we are pro-suffering. We are pro-bad things. And the MAGA Republicans
which,
like, yeah.
You can get away with that rhetoric when you're standing in a brightly lit room. when you're in a room full of shadow with like, you know, unplayable Lego characters who are still locked standing behind you here in just dark silhouettes.
Yes, when you literally have soldiers standing behind you against a blood-red background in the dark. I mean, it honestly looks like one of the scenes from Star Wars, doesn't it? Like the Emperor's throne room or something.
But again, you don't really need to make the fictional comparisons. Just like, this is actually what the United States is now.
But this is absurd rhetoric. And it's just saying, look, my opponents are evil and I'm good. And that's all there is to say about it. It's like, well, yeah, you would say that because you're a lunatic. Who is this persuaded, right? And you'll notice, I actually left out the clip, but at one point he's like, he stumbles over it. You can't be pro-insurrection and pro-America. It's like, mate, America is an insurrection. It's what it is.
I mean, if you want to return, we're happy to take you.
Are we? Calm down.
We'll have a governor run it for a few years.
Like, I get the feeling this is our imperial ego speaking here. I think we need to actually have a conversation about that. But anyway, and then so after denouncing, like, you know, half the country as being irredeemably evil, who are a threat to the very nation itself, he's like, we need to see each other as fellow Americans. It's like, what? Like...
democracy begins and will be preserved in we, the people's habits of the heart, in our character, optimism that is tested yet endures, courage that digs deep when we need it, empathy that fuels democracy, the willingness to see each other not as enemies but as fellow Americans.
Apart from those evil MAGA scum who want violence and tyranny.
Us, except like us, we the people, me and the 10 people in this room, who literally can't give a speech anywhere in public without having someone in the background shouting F Joe Biden.
And someone does shout that. That's exactly right. It's like, what are you doing? You know, who do you think you're persuading here?
And it's kind of like Gaddafi.
Yeah, it
is. I'll be honest. That probably is the best comparison, where he's just like mental lunatic who keeps telling you that he's in command and represents the people, and you're sort of looking at like, okay.
Where? You know, we the then people, again, says the professional politician who's never had a job.
But Gaddafi did do a better job than him on that as well.
Probably. But anyway, so this is the last clip I want to watch, just because it's just remarkable.
Ladies and gentlemen, we can't be pro-insurrectionist and pro-American. They're incompatible. We can't allow violence to be normalized in this country. It's wrong. We each have to reject political violence with all the moral clarity and conviction this nation can muster. Now. We can't let the integrity of our elections be undermined, for that is a path to chaos. Look, I know politics can be fierce and mean and nasty in America. I get it. I believe in the give and take of politics, in disagreement and debate and dissent. We're a big, complicated country. But democracy endures only if we, the people, respect the guardrails of the republic. Only if we, the people, accept the results of free and fair elections. Only if we, the people, see politics not as total war, but mediation of our differences.
I hate it. Just like, only if we accept the result. Okay, play the clip, like just the clip of all the Democrats saying Donald Trump was installed by the Russians. Yeah. Oh, God. Did I miss?
You get the next one up, John.
I didn't even know.
literally 10 minutes of Democrats denying election results, because they were like, Russia did this, Russia did this, Russia did this.
We can never engage in violence, but also Antifa, not heard of them.
Black Lives Matter.
No.
Just constant.
And you remember
non-stop.
The debate? Like, he was asked on the debate by Trump, he denounced them, and he just laughed.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's just mind-boggling. Like, dispatches from a parallel universe. And this whole, like, you know, we can't have total war. We've got to treat each other as fellow Americans and have our politics as being a sort of mediation. It's like, you've just spent this speech denouncing half the electorate as being evil. You've just called them evil and a threat to the nation. You absolute lunatic. Like, what are you saying? This weird, like, Jekyll and Hyde, like, you know, like, it's freakish. Absolutely freakish. And so anyway, let's go to the next one, just because I love the insane optics of this. You can just get this up. Right, I mean, that kind of has the shape of the Reich Eagle in red, like, I mean, spread wings behind him.
You could put it in; it wouldn't be hard.
It's just the general form, and then him like bellowing with it. It's like with the soldiers in the background. It's like, who thought this was a good idea? I just can't get over it. Right,
I can imagine like the Iranian propaganda minister wakes up, sees that, is like, well, that's front page.
Well, I just can't believe.
Look at the evil Americans.
Well, yeah, like the great Satan is rising. But not even photoshopped. And so, like, I mean, this, like, seems to me like he knows that the ground is quaking. There's a lot of things going wrong for Joe Biden.
Like, why would you feel the need to make this speech?
Because you wanted to get hashtag pedo Hitler trending?
I don't think the Dem strategist would have had those words.
But that was the consequence of this. Like, literally, like, a million tweets on hashtag pedo Hitler. For like 4 days straight, and it was just this picture of Joe Biden being memed. It's like, okay, but yeah, like, who sees this and starts applauding? Well, the answer is, of course, the media. The media sees this speech and like, yeah, that's a good point. Let's watch.
President Biden delivered one of the most forceful speeches of his presidency.
This speech, it really felt like a reset that the president, the administration really felt like they needed.
A vintage Biden speech and something he wanted to give.
These MAGA Republicans who, as he put it, represent an extremism that threatens the foundation of our republic.
I really thought this was a fascinating bit of presidential stagecraft.
I think he avoided being overly polarizing.
It was a very, very patriotic speech.
What Biden is basically saying is there are two big movements in this country. One is mine. I want to defend this democracy. The other is a movement that is not in favor of those things necessarily.
I don't know who the, it's not all Republicans, just MAGA Republicans are for. Like, I'm sure that there are some white supremacists who will vote with white supremacists who don't think they're white supremacists. We're happy that Biden didn't call them a white supremacist, but like, it's not for me.
Lunatics.
We've spoken about it so many times, and it really is the disconnect between these two camps of American politics is so far. It's not healable, frankly.
No, I don't think so.
Like, the people you see operating the place. I remember, what was that clip of that lady who was, she was being asked about, I think it was pronouns in medicine or something. And then she got really butthurt about it. And we played the clip and everyone laughed, like it was ridiculous in the Senate. And then we noticed online, like every Democrat account was actually retweeting the exact same clip saying, oh my God, she destroyed him. I was like, what? No, she comes off as an absolute lunatic.
Yeah.
And they just don't see it.
I can't remember that clip offhand. But anyway, you know, a lot of Democrats like this. So if you get to the next one, you've got a Democrat strategist called Adam Park Homenko, who's like, Biden is effing done with the traitors. Okay.
This is the question of why would you do all this?
Yeah.
Like, we raided Trump. Now we're going to give a speech about how him and all the supporters are traitors to the Republic.
Yeah.
What's the next step?
What was the next step in Rwanda? Because that's what this
is. The Tutsi liars had to go.
Well, no, that's what this is coming off like, actually. You know, and not obviously that's a more extreme case, but like when you have this kind of.
Why bother doing setup for stuff like this?
Yeah. The mass stigmatization of a large section of the country. Okay, why? You know, and the answer is never good, obviously. I mean, the next one is Jeff Tiedrick, who's just a commentator. He's like, Joe Biden's had about enough of your fascist BS. It's like, yeah, he's got his own now, apparently. Like,
your cuckold fascism. Yeah, real fascism over here.
Yeah, exactly. Trump didn't even have a red and black background flanked with the soldiers.
Oh, you see that Jill Biden thing as well, where she gave a speech. There was literally an eagle in a white circle behind her.
Oh, yeah,
red.
That was actually a fascist symbol, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Weird sort of Chad energy, but...
And notice how the media all just fall into goose step behind him. But then Joe Biden gets asked by Peter Doocy the next day. It's like, so do you consider all Trump supporters to be a threat to the country? He's like, no. I don't consider any Trump supporters to be a threat to the country. It's like, are you okay?
Like, my strategist told me to give this speech
yeah.
decrying half the country as traitors. Right. And then there was a huge amount of backlash, so I'm...
So, I don't even if it was. Like, we've got Mr. Biden today rather than Dr. Joe. You know, Dr. Joe came out, gave his fiery Nazi speech, and then Mr. Biden is like, I don't remember that. Like, I don't consider any...
He might genuinely not.
he literally just says, well, I just think we should denounce violence. I just think... It's like, oh, really, Joe?
No, we must deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, right? And then you get this next one, which is amazing, because it's just, like, the two clips, and you can see the quotes there, right? You know, I don't consider any Trump supporter a threat to the country. And then Biden, the day before, being like, all Trump supporters are a threat to the country. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you? You know, why do you think this sort of transparent lie can just be told and you'll get away with it? It's because he's obviously not him. It's the machinery around him, the apparatus that props him up. But the White House Twitter account and his Twitter account just kept posting stuff that then walked back his walk back. Stuff like, you know, there is nothing America can't do if we do it together. We can choose a path forward, a future of possibility. And then the next one is MAGA proposals are a threat to the very soul of this country.
take the pills again.
Yeah, like, sorry, are we walking together or half the country evil and need to be dealt with?
I don't remember calling MAGA a threat. Also, yeah. They're a threat to the very soul.
And it gets worse, actually. The MAGA agenda represents an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. I mean, could you get a more condemnatory phrasing from that? I mean, this is literally like, I hate to, you know, be gauche and be like, well, that's kind of what Hitler was saying about the Jews in Germany, isn't it? Because that's exactly what he was saying.
They're not part of our new racial republic, because that's how he defined Germany.
Yeah.
It's like, well, but this is us, and you're not part of that, so you need to go.
Americans need to come together. Obviously not the MAGA people, they're a threat to the republic. It's like, right.
They're not part of America anymore.
Yes.
So where are they meant to go exactly?
Well.
They are American nationalists.
Like, well. And the bots have been out in force for this. I forgot to add this one, sorry. But Ian Miles Chung put up just a screenshot of a bunch of bots, and they all say this, quote, Mr. Biden, and they say exactly this, with exactly the same capitalization. Mr. Biden, I'm a conservative Republican, but it's time for me to admit you are one of the greatest presidents we've ever had. You're leading us to a shining city on a hill, and I couldn't be prouder to have you as our commander-in-chief. What absolute...
Copy paste.
Honestly, the idea that he's going to be able to peel away like a body of centrist conservatives.
When it's all the same grammar and spelling.
Yes.
Not one mistake amongst them.
Yes.
And if there is a mistake, it's amongst all of them. Then.
Yes. It's exactly the same. And it's just like, this is embarrassing. An embarrassing attempt by the Biden's deep state, whatever's behind him, to try and shatter Trump's coalition, because he can see Trump coming and he can see that it's not looking good for him. I mean, his approval rating has improved mildly in the last week or so. Moving score down.
How unpopular is Joe Biden? That's the question.
That is the question.
Yeah, so, I don't know if you saw the animation. It went from popular to unpopular. Yeah.
But Biden like dipped at a peak of sort of 38% approval rating and 54% disapproved. But now he's back to 42% and 52% disapproved. So not great.
He's back to Donald Trump levels.
Yeah, yeah.
On the bot thing, real quick. I don't know if you saw the MSNBC stream of that speech. But it had like 1/5 likes, all dislikes, like any other stream with that. And then you check the comment section. Every single comment I saw, bar like a couple, were all pro Biden. It was like. Honestly, I think there probably is some kind of like Dem bot farm in the same way of the internet research agency in Russia that was being operated.
Yeah.
Just for them.
I think so. I think that's what you're seeing there. Because, I mean, when you compare the two rallies, like this would be the actual thing. If you go to the next one, you see Trump's rally.
In the same city.
It's in the same city, yeah. Both in Pennsylvania. I mean, just stadium. You know, notice the lack of stage management on the person with the camera, right? They're just panning around. Oh, look, everywhere is absolutely filled. And in a minute, they'll cut to Biden's one, where it's just like, I don't know, probably about 30 or 40 people.
They're probably paid to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, like usually at these things, you've got about at least 15 press people. So that's half the audience gone. And then the rest of them, I mean, like half of those are your staffers.
Yeah.
So then who are the other five guys? I mean, like the people who run the building?
Well, I mean, just, you know, people get off the street. And then, yeah, you get to Biden's one. To be fair to Biden, he's probably got a couple of hundred people there. Like, maybe.
I mean, a lot of those people are in uniforms. As in, like, they work for something.
Maybe 200 at most.
Yeah, okay.
But you just compare it. It's like, look, man, you know, I'm sorry. Like, I can see why you're afraid of Trump. And I can see why you're looking at the way that the country's going, how Biden's running it. And it's not going well.
Like, Caesar is popular.
Yeah. And he's going to be coming back. So people have been speculating, well, do you think they're essentially gearing up with these continual demonization of Trump and Republican speeches to essentially arrest Trump? And it's like, yeah, probably. Because, I mean, like, you see the Department of Justice's raid inventory on Trump, on Mar-a-Lago, found nothing. A bunch of them were just empty. Like, there was nothing here. They released the heavily redacted thing showing nothing. And it's like, right, so you've got nothing, but you really, really want to stop Trump running. That's what this is about. Because you recognize that MAGA is a threat to Biden's coalition. And so, yeah, so that's about it. But it's just like, you are, the entire thing is demented. John's pointing out that we've ran bigger events than Biden's rally, which is true.
Even when he was campaigning, actually.
Yeah, even when he was campaigning, which is true. So anyway, I'll leave that there.
Me and a friend were actually wargaming, like, what would happen if they did that?
Oh, yeah.
I was just thinking, I mean, there's got to be civil war at that point. Like, you just arrest Caesar. Just like,
oh, yeah.
Because if Donald Trump was not able to run, I reckon he would probably pull a Serbian move and just be like, right, we're not voting in this then. And it'd be a complete landslide for the Dems, but then just no one recognizes the government.
Yeah, legitimate, yeah.
So, because, like, the Serbians did that in Bosnia, and then they just made their own government. Just split the country in two. And then,
yeah, I'd be surprised if there's not some sort of secession of the plebs with the Republicans at this point. We're like, we're not engaging in this farce.
Expel the FBI. Anyway. What's the jihadi Let's move on to the jihadi police of vice and virtue. Because we've ran a story ages ago, back when the lockdown protests were going on, and there was a lady whose picture went viral of her and her jab and her baton.
She looked pretty damn contemptuous.
Happy about what she was up to. And then the footage came out of her being completely useless. And immediately, all of the media jumped down everyone's throat to tell you about how she was wonderful and perfect and the most honest of human beings. In fact, maybe a poster lady of our new future.
I believe it.
There was an investigation into her Twitter account.
Oh, I bet it was really, really progressive.
Yeah, I imagine too. But before we get into it, just to mention, of course, we'll plug a little video here, being the politics of V for Vendetta, for no reason whatsoever. No relevance at all. Anyway, moving on.
It's a good one, this.
Yeah, it is. But if we go to the next one here, we can see the original posts about this. You can see the image on the left. This was during the lockdown protests in which you had her with no mask and all the officers who were from the English community with their masks. She didn't have to.
She got to wear her hijab, though.
Yeah. It wouldn't actually be that hard for her to put on a mask either. It's not like a turban or something where you just can't move it a little bit, put the things on. But no, she got
one rule for one.
Special exemptions. And as you can see here, Chief Superintendent Roy Smith over here, who is the Chief Superintendent for Met Police, London Police here, decided to issue a statement because he was very upset about the Islamophobia towards her. Lots of social media commentary about this brave officer. Not sure what all the fuss is about. I see a professional and brave officer, my colleague, doing her job just like every other cop that day. A few people need to catch up with modern times. Nothing more to discuss.
Oh my God, that is just so perfect.
Yeah, it's just like, this is the future. This is perfect. This is exactly what the world will
look
like.
A doctor, a lawyer.
Yeah,
someone a progressive enforcer.
This midget is going to be incredibly good at crowd control, I am sure.
Look at the contempt in her face, though. Sorry, because these
that's why it went viral.
Yeah, these were the anti-lock. Yeah, exactly. These are the anti-lockdown protests, which were mostly English from the English community, saying, "Hang on a second, this is not how things are done in England." And the contempt was definitely what struck people.
I love it. It's got to be chief superintendent as well. Like, it's the highest guy in their realm. Yeah. He deleted his whole account after all this. Because if you go to the next one here, you can see I responded at the time, just if you can click on the images. Like, it's because it became a fantastic meme for just the way the British state is run, which is we have blasphemy laws that are actually stricter than Kuwait's, for example.
Mm.
Like, we have stricter laws on blasphemy against Islam than Islamic countries do.
Yeah, I remember this. That was in Scotland. Islam is questionable. And they were like, "You're under arrest, sunshine."
Yeah. If you go to the next one here, it's just some guy who made a joke about being a Muslim. He literally just went on a prayer mat and went, la, 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 la. And that was a hate crime, and he got jail for that.
Yep.
There we are. Fast as. And this is all because of Section 127, of course, which we will come back to. Because if you go to the next one here, there was the media headlines, of course, that this is the beautiful woman. How can you be upset about her? Why has her image gone viral? No idea. No idea whatsoever. Police officer, target of racist abuse for wearing a hijab. Number one, it's not race. So, fell at the first hurdle. This Met police officer serving on the front line amid violent clashes at Saturday's anti-lockdown protests in London has become the target of racist abuse after bravely putting herself in harm's way as if, like, she was a volunteer.
As if what she was doing was good. Lockdowns were bad. You were on the... Sorry, we're just here defending the empire, you know? Like, sorry, no.
Yeah, as Kim Jong-un's men bravely...
put themselves in harm's way against those freedom fighters. Who didn't want the government locking them down.
An unarmed officer who was wearing a hijab, except from a baton.
Yeah, unarmed.
Like, the British public don't have any guns. Like, we don't even have, like, sticks you can carry around. Like, if you carry a baton in public, you will get arrested for that. So
she's definitely armed by our standards of what being armed is.
Yeah. She became the subject of Islamophobic vitriol on social media. One called the picture a political correctness stunt, while another person said she was, quote, picked for the job because she's a Muslim with a hijab. Gerard Willey wrote, "She is dressed like a militant. Easy to equate hijab with Salafism. Easy to imagine that she has an agenda. Mm. Hard to tell the difference between your modern times and 7th century Arabia." Obviously responding to Roy Smith over there.
How could a woman like this have an agenda? What's wrong with him?
Yeah. And then there's the footage, of course. I don't think we'll bother playing it because you could see from that image. She was bloody useless.
Yeah.
Like someone who was operating in crowd control. The protesters, like the men who would get pushed forwards in front of her, actually like put their hands up and said, "Oh, sorry, love." And they got back in line. Like that was her effectiveness because she wasn't very good at like, you know, pushing them
but
or
only,
being a threat at all.
Only in the West is a 5'2" woman going to be put at the front line of a you know, riot.
And this riot, because they knew she's not in any real danger. Like, these people aren't actually going to batter a small lady.
Yeah.
Whereas other communities might. One troll added, "If she gets her own way, you'll all be wearing those burqa things." While another said, "No face mask, but the Muslims are exempt from the same laws as the rest of us." I was like, yeah.
Broadly true.
If she has some kind of agenda, I guess she might. But if we go forward, there's also just the fact that, was she there for diversity reasons? Almost certainly yes. Because, as you can see, College of Policing, recruiting for diversity, very proud about all of this. I mean, they write in here that they're currently working as the head of the positive action team to get more BAME people to apply.
I wonder if she ever wears the trans pride flag pin or paints it on her face.
Probably not.
I doubt it.
We'll find out from her Twitter profile later. Our primary focus is on increasing Black, Asian, and minority representation and female representation in policing. And it's like, right, okay. They want about 30% of officers to become that. And I was like,
okay.
They write in here, "The recent George Floyd protests in the United States and their impact on UK Black Lives Matter movement act as a reminder of why fair and equal policing and better representation is critical to our consent-based policing system."
Oh yeah, I bet the black community is just like, thank God I'm Muslim.
Yeah. George Floyd died. Who's that? It's, again, not our country, Ethan, so it's just hilarious. But, you know, still better than the healthcare system in this country. Go to the next one here. Their obsession with diversity and inclusion has got to the point that they're literally using color swatches now. I don't know if you've seen this.
Yes.
This is the what is it? See Me First program?
Yeah.
Which sounds incredibly...
Just See Me First. Okay, and who have they got first? Well, the black woman. Well, what's the highest thing? This is a racial hierarchy that they have just laid out for us.
For people listening, they've got a color swatch, like from Family Guy, and that's their logo. And for this image here, they've got some black lady with a color swatch around her, and she does not actually look happy to be in this picture.
No.
Like, she can tell she's been dragged here by the diversity department.
But the darkest color is at the top of the swatch, and the lightest color is at the bottom of the swatch. Mm. Like, this is actual, and it's a gradient. This is actually a racial hierarchy that the NHS is presenting, and saying, look, the blacks come first, don't you realize? Because right?
The me part is minority ethnic as well.
Yeah.
So literally, see minority ethnics first.
So...
In the health system.
I mean, when you came back and were like, look, we very obviously live in a minoritocracy or something like that.
Minoritarian society.
Yeah, I mean, the NHS is like, hey, yeah, you're exactly right. We need to make that more public.
I mean, if you could scroll down for the merch. I mean, the merch is the weirdest thing. I mean, it looks like a 4chan prank. The flags.
It does.
Why? Why did you do this? No one asked you to do this. Then again, minoritarian society, so. But... That's how you might think about the diversity and our brave, wonderful hero of the story. However, of course, then her opinions started to be shown. You can see here a Muslim woman doing her job should not be a big deal for some opinion piece, which they write in here. Like a warped version of Where's Wally, people seem intent on identifying Muslim women solely based on their clothing and their inherent Muslimness. I was like, well, yeah, that's what hijab is. It's Muslimness. It's not Catholicness. It's like so... dumb. But she goes on to whine in here about how people think that she's got some kind of secret agenda, that she might, you know, be some kind of jihadi or sympathizer with jihadis or some other such Islamophobic bigotry.
She's just a typical British progressive. I don't know what everyone is talking about.
Yeah, also the London Economic came out and praised her at the time. If you go to the next link, please. Because you can see, oh, look, yeah, a lovely lady here. It went viral. If you go to the next one, they deleted that article. They had the foresight because the news that came afterwards was not pretty. Because if you go to the Daily Mail article, we can see more opinions. Yeah, female Muslim police officer who tweeted racist messages and was in regular contact with a suspected female jihadi in Syria is suspended.
Really?
Yeah.
So what a bunch of racists.
She was suspended a year after being exposed by the Daily Mail on Sunday. Ruby Begum, 27, no relation, I hope, to Shamina.
We don't know.
It's a very common last name.
Yeah, but...
Beautiful British
name. Intermarriage.
Oh, no. Yeah. She, Ruby over here, she was hailed as an inspirational role model after footage showed her bravely confronting anti-lockdown protesters while wearing a hijab and went viral 2 years ago. But in the months that followed, we found out that before joining the Metropolitan Police Service, she used a Twitter account to insult Jews and mock 9/11.
All right.
Mashallah. She frequently used the offensive term kuffar to describe non-believers, writing in July 2014... Ugh, kuffar lips have been all over my mug, and there's no way I'm using that thing again. So, non-Muslims have been drinking from her mug, and so she decided to just bin it. Okay.
Right.
So, that's
very progressive.
Open religious bigotry, I suppose. Very good. Miss Begum communicated over many months with a woman thought to have fled Europe in 2014 to live under the Islamic State's so-called caliphate.
Did she have any views on Israel?
might have done to join IS, of all things.
No, I mean Begum herself, but anyway.
Well, she kept in contact.
Yeah.
How are things? Oh, it's still sunny. Ooh.
I know she does. Look, dirty Zionist. Hell is waiting.
That's part of the anti-Semitism from her account. The woman would later acquire notoriety for appearing to defend male terrorists' use of minority group Yazidis as sex slaves. Very progressive. This is the future. This is modern times.
Everyone's like, she doesn't have an agenda. What's wrong with you? Oh, really?
Without offering explanation, Miss Begum wrote around this time that her own passport was confiscated for a month. Home Office commented nothing in regards as to why they probably did that. There was no suggestion that Miss Begum tried to join IS directly or go to Syria, and some of her tweets indicate that she was appalled by the group's behaviour. I love that. It's like, number one, the Home Office turned up and took your passport because they thought it was such a risk.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I never actually went there. It's like, because you would have been stopped from doing it as well if your passport has been taken, presumably. But then also, well, some of the things ISIS do, I don't know. I mean, they're mostly good, but some of the things. Sometimes they seem like cucks.
who could have predicted this?
Yeah. Yeah. Presumably she's too busy in the UK as well. But we go to the next one here because... It's bad enough when you have, like, riots and that situation taking place. Mm. But just moving over to what was happening on the weekend with the bad man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was hosting his fourth documentary in Telford. This is how bad Telford's grooming problem has become, or has and still is. And he was filming that, and I just thought to myself, like, yeah, it's quite bad when, like, she's in charge of riot control. You know, you've got an Islamist doing that, but then I wander around places like this and communities.
Sorry, these signs, justice for the victims, no to Tommy Robinson. Do they mean the victims of grooming gangs?
Presumably.
Right, okay. So
not the victims of Tommy Robinson? I don't
know.
Well,
that's the thing, right? So the victims aren't of Tommy Robinson. They must be talking about the grooming gangs. So yeah. The dialectic has advanced. Tommy has actually gotten to admit that, okay, maybe the Muslim community did some things.
They didn't do any speeches at this one, because I think they'd admitted by this that the movement's ridiculous. But yeah. In the previous speeches, they had actually given speeches saying, well, he is right that this happened, and he is right that it was from one community, and it is right that the police ignored it, but he is a fascist. It was just... we've got over it previously. It was comical, which is why I love going to these things. But, you know, I'm just thinking in my mind, like, the police in Rotherham endlessly trying to get more diversity involved. I mean, I do remember... the bad man producing evidence that there were police officers who were hired for that purpose and then got charged with alleged...
There was one particular guy.
Mohammed Ditter comes to mind.
Yeah, that's the guy, yeah.
Yes, who was kept giving speeches in mosques about why you should join the police force because of all the perks you get.
And he went to schools and stuff like that.
And then it was found out that he was allegedly part of one. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. I don't know what ended up happening with that court case.
Well,
but
he got fired, but...
Yeah, well, he got suspended, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Until so did she. She didn't even get fired. She just got suspended. She got 2 weeks off.
She just wants really the disestablishment of Israel, Cal.
I just think 9/11 was a good thing, and the Jews should all hide behind the rocks and the trees. What's your problem?
Tyrannically orthodox. I don't know what your problem is.
Yeah, there was one nice thing at the end of this documentary, just for people who are wondering. You can go watch it on Getter, of course, at the Bad Man's account. The police obviously all watch everything, and when he started mentioning the names of bent coppers in Telford Police Force, all the police were like, what's Jim up to? Moving on, though, because I just wanted to mention, compare that treatment, which is that this lady is a perfect human being. Mashallah, she is the embodiment of modern Britain, says the superintendent before the reality comes out, and then he suspends her for 2 weeks, maybe. Compare that to how the British state treats the English community. And, of course, the grooming and the stuff the bad man's documented is one example. But let's just do like for like of police officers engaging in... crimes against political correctness. I mean, to be honest, I don't really care about her stupid opinions. I care about the contact with someone who's joined ISIS. That's actually a threat. Hmm. But then we have another individual here, an ex-police officer, who was jailed for 20 weeks over racist WhatsApp messages.
That's not even public as well.
No.
So she can tweet all sorts of things about Jews, just get suspension, and he posts something in a private group and he gets jailed.
Yeah. The details here being that he mocked George Floyd. In a private WhatsApp group.
George Floyd in public, mate? What?
He sent a string of racist WhatsApp memes. No, they were racist. Like, no, they're memes about George Floyd. They're not memes about WhatsApp. So just like WhatsApp is the Ku Klux Klan. Anyway.
Yeah.
James Watts was serving with West Mercia Police in 2020 when he shared the grossly offensive material to his group chat. Got a private group chat, not a public one. So... this next sentence is going to make even less sense. The deputy chief magistrate said, quote, at the time of these offences, you were a police officer, a person to whom the public looks up to uphold the law, but you did the opposite.
Calm down. We have been severely disabused of the respect we may once have had of the police.
But also, how am I going to look up to him? Like, I can't look into his WhatsApp chats.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. But also, you did the opposite. You didn't uphold the law. I was like, what law? He says in here, your behaviour brings the criminal justice system as a whole into disrepute. Not everything else you've done, no. The private memes shared by some of the English officers has to be stopped. Yeah. The hostility that you demonstrated on the basis of race makes this offending so serious that I cannot deal with it by community penalty or a fine. And he was sent to jail for 20 weeks.
Okay.
A meme.
God, I hate this country.
Yes. A message must go out, and that message can only go through an immediate sentence of imprisonment.
Only wore a hijab and sent tweets about Israel.
Yeah, then you would have been suspended, and everyone would go, you'll be back soon. Yeah. Don't worry, we have paid suspension. Don't worry about it. Watts, here, from Birmingham, so why you might have some opinions, because Birmingham's a lovely place, pleaded guilty at an earlier hearing to 10 counts of sending a grossly offensive or menacing message on a public communications network. This is the best thing about this story. I think I have mentioned it before, but it's just a point of comparison as to how easy she gets off versus someone like him. Because if you go to the law itself, of course, It's a crime to send something that's grossly offensive on a public communications network. WhatsApp isn't public. In fact, it's encrypted end to end.
I mean, exactly. They definitionally call it a private group chat.
Like, he didn't break the law. As in, the law as written, literally he cannot have broken this, and yet he was still sent to jail for 20 weeks. I have no idea as to how this can take place in a court, except just by utter ideological capture.
Whereas
nobody
she
cared.
Actually did break this law via a public means, and she just gets a suspension.
The police did not investigate her for a crime, instead they just suspended her from the organisation.
I think it's important to remember the NHS's racial hierarchy swatch at this point.
Yeah.
Remember that she's a lot higher on it than he is.
But there you have it. Just the law does not apply to Muslim police officers of vice and virtue, whereas the law does, even when it doesn't, to English officers who do similar things of making memes.
Yeah.
There you have it. But otherwise, if you want to go and check out the Bad Man's documentary, as I say, on Getter for that one, which was a hell of a day. I hear that's the last one as well he's doing in Telford.
Oh, really?
And then he should be going on a tour around the other ones.
Okay.
A endless number of towns and cities.
Yeah.
So look forward to that.
Wow. It's just something that keeps going on, isn't it? Speaking of things that just keep going on.
Decided to leave that out.
Probably a hate crime. London's a very peaceful place, isn't it, Callum?
Are you smoking?
No, I've been reading the media.
Been snorting?
No. It's all peaceful. And it's incredible just how fine the defences start becoming when, for example, you get... No. You've got... Look, we're being accurate, right? When you have a mob of 100 teenagers who are hacking each other with machetes and a bunch of them are killed, right?
Were they wearing... Should we describe their clothes? Because, I mean, that's another characteristic.
Well, they were wearing Greg's outfits, you know, from Primark. What do you want?
Any other defining features of the teenagers?
Nah, not really. Okay. Just Tower Hamlets residents.
Yeah.
But when this happens, it's amazing just how, like, the media machine works. There's total silence, but those parts that do cover it are like, well, they didn't all have machetes. So, right, that's it then. Unless they've all got machetes. You can't describe this as a machete brawl because, you know, that would be inaccurate. But anyway, before we begin, if you want to support us, go to lizzies.com, sign up for $5 a month and watch our premium video, The Politics of Fight Club. It's got nothing to do with what's happening here, I swear. But anyway, let's get to the LBC reporting.
The first rule of machete brawl is do not talk about machete brawl.
Well, that's actually yes, because of course snitches get stitches, and people who don't snitch also get stitches, if you're lucky enough. So one 17-year-old boy was stabbed to death, another left critically ill, although I believe he actually died.
100 people?
Yes, 100 people, mass brawl in Tower Hamlets. Because, you know, I mean, whatever sparked this, it's got to be important. Like, can you imagine the English community having a mass machete brawl? That'd have to be over something really important, right? It would have to be, I mean...
We wouldn't even use machetes. Like, everyone would get their long swords.
Well, yeah, exactly. But it's cultural. But officers were called to reports of a disturbance involving a large number of people on Lichfield Row in Bow.
People?
At 12:09 a.m. on Sunday. So midnight Sunday. They're like, yeah, we're going to have a 100-man machete brawl. It's like...
It's like, you know those Facebook meetups where it's like, let's all raid Area 51. They can't stop
us
all. Like, a million people say they'll go. Well, that's what this sounds like to me. Like, everyone in Tower Hamlets is like, haha, how funny would that be? And then, like, 100 people turned up and went, shh, all right.
Maybe.
The Kaiser.
So, yeah, two teenagers were stabbed, one died. I think the other one has died. And so this is awful, right?
Yeah,
right? 17 and 18-year-old somehow involved in a mass machete brawl. Right, so
the English would do this.
The fight is believed, yeah, exactly. The fight is believed to have involved around 100 people, some armed with machetes. So don't just call it a machete brawl. They didn't all have machetes.
Some of them had spoons, I don't know.
Until they're armed literally like a regiment, like where every single one of them is armed with their machete, you know. So, but anyway, this absolute insanity, what started this? Well, Detective Chief Inspector Mark Rogers of the Met Specialist Crime Command, who's leading the investigation, has said this is a highly worrying incident. Telling me! Highly worrying! A mob of 100 machete-wielding lunatics!
He's there with his tea going, gosh, someone should do something about that.
Blimey!
Yeah, I kind of like it. I know it's ridiculous. I know where that comes from. It's all the kind of wrong places that he thinks he'll just, you know, ignore it.
Yeah.
But I do love the idea of him being very British and being like, cool, that's a bit of a worry.
This is a highly worrying incident that has left one young man dead and another fighting for his life in hospital. My thoughts and prayers are with their families and friends at this difficult time. Mate, you're the chief inspector!
I kind of like him even more. Like, I'm not going to solve it. Like, that place is our last course.
That's exactly what he's saying. It's like thoughts and prayers. It's like, no. You're meant to be investigating and arresting maybe the murderers. Like, I don't know. I mean, I always...
The problem will solve itself.
I always thought the police were supposed to step in at this point. But what I love is that he goes, oh, I also want to reassure them and the wider community. My team and I are working round the clock to establish exactly what has happened and who's responsible.
Not to arrest people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're working round the clock. I would just ask anyone who witnessed this incident or may have information that could help, please get in touch and show what you know. It's like, right, so you're going to do nothing. You're not even going to get off your ass.
He's sounding like, bro, send the videos. We love watching them.
Just, like, nothing. Absolutely, nothing is going to come of this 100-man machete brawl that left two dead. The police are saying, yeah, thoughts and prayers. Like, I don't mean to laugh, but what are you supposed to do? Right? And obviously, they're like, yeah, while I would stress our investigation is very early stages, this information does not appear to be wholly accurate. We know a significant number of people were caught in this incident, but not necessarily directly involved or armed with weapons. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, look, not all of them had machetes.
They were just shouting, kill the Tutsi from the sidelines.
Exactly. And also, of course, we have absolutely no suspects whatsoever. Why? Because no one's going to call the cops. And, like, do you remember the Sacha Johnson thing? Gets shot in the head and everyone's like, don't know, didn't see a thing. But, okay. I mean, the problem is solving itself there, but like, okay, so what caused this giant machete brawl? And this has got to be something really important. Like, come on, two people are dead.
It's going to be over, like, someone, you know, took the last bounty or something. It's going to be that pathetic, isn't it?
Yeah, this is basically it, actually, right? GB News say, quote, police said the mass brawl is believed to have broken out after a number of people refused entry into a house party in the area. Mate, I'm getting my machete if you don't let me in. Mate, I'm not letting you in. Right, that's it.
Okay, then me and all 50 boys, but our 50 boys will come out.
Yeah, exactly.
You ever go to a dinner party and, you know, bring a plus one? They say, oh, sorry, no, we can't. And you go, oh, well.
That's it.
Never mind.
Machetes at dawn. Not even at dawn, actually. Yeah, so that's just the worst.
I mean, how good was this party that you have to kill people? Well, yeah. You're willing to die to get in.
It must have been a cool party. But seriously, this is just awful. We're laughing, but this is just awful, awful, awful. But this is, of course, part of London's newest tradition, which is machete attacks. It's just something that happens a lot. We cover it fairly often, but I'm just going to go through a few.
The English community are famous for this.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Whenever we immigrate to Spain, the machetes go up.
You can see from the pictures, in fact. But this was just in Hyde Park. This was June 2021, where a group of machete-wielding youths... started attacking each other in the middle of Hyde Park.
They're wearing Nike.
Yeah.
Don't know how else to describe.
With their suspects. Greg's fashion range, you know? Like,
God, that's some cyberpunk dystopia, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's like the Greg machete gangs.
It really is.
Chopping up customers who go to Pret a Manger.
But that was the 2nd of June. It's like, right, okay, well, that's bad. At least it doesn't happen that often, except for the next day, on the 3rd of June, there's another machete attack in London. Yeah. It's like, right, okay.
What's it from Greg?
This is 2021, by the way. This is in Greenwich. Just bad. Okay, but I mean, okay, what are the odds of, like, you know, one then, and then another one that you're not going to get? Oh, yeah, you're going to get a third one. In the middle of the day in Streatham. Just rival gangs macheting each other in the streets. It just happens.
Why wouldn't they? There's no police.
Like a 100-man machete brawl on a Sunday night because someone can't get into a house party. Well, it's starting to look kind of expected, really, isn't it? We'll go keep going. So in October, Richmond attack in Richmond Park, just machetes, machete men, I guess, people with machetes, I don't know.
Is that
machetists?
The machete men.
Yeah, why not? Like they're apparently targeting upmarket cyclists.
The tutus came out and...
high-end bike theft.
Looking for tootsies.
Yeah, no, they attack the guy, chop him up a bit, take his bike. It's like, okay.
I don't think you need to. I think he'll give you the bike. You've got a machete.
Yeah, but you brought the machete all this way. You don't want
to buy it. Pay for it. You buy a blender. You got to blend everything.
Yeah,
you've got a machete. You've got to machete everything.
Right. But again, like, it's okay. You're going to attack. You're going to machete a guy to steal his bike. Okay. All right, lunatic.
£10,000 bike. Oof.
I guess so. You know?
What kind of bike is that?
a very expensive one. But anyway, let's get to the next one, in which a mother and son decided to machete kill some 17-year-old. Against sterling, upstanding members of the English community, right?
Have you seen those videos of like little TikToks where it's a test? So like the mum will come in and say to their young kid, like, you need to come outside because I'm going to fight her mum and you're going to fight her kid. And like the joke is that the kids always go, yeah, mum, I got you. And they come out. Like, is that how this went down?
I have not seen this. But basically, right, they decided to machete this boy to death because, quote, he had been bothering her. He's bothering my mother. Oh, I guess we're going to go murder him then.
A reenactment of how this went down. I say, son, there's quite the bother outside. Oh, is there, mother?
Well, I'm very annoyed because he's been repeatedly knocking on the door looking for him. Huh. And it's like, right, he's been coming around knocking.
Keeps asking if you're coming out to play.
Yeah. Oh, and it's a terrible bother. He's like, no problem, mum, I'll get the machete.
Don't worry, son, I'll come with. Let's make sure we do a good job now.
And that's what happened in this case. And it's just like, right, you are insane maniacs. You know, Nicola Layton and her son Tyrese Ulysses murdered some kid, as well as three as a teenager. Just mental, right? But then you get this one from April 2022, which I thought was just remarkable, right? So there's a machete attack on the underground, as you do, right? But a machete-wielding man told panicked onlookers, this is not a terror attack. I only want that guy. Oh, enough, thank mate. God. Oh, thank God. I was worried that this was a terrorist attack, but I mean, like, you know, that would have been bad.
I'll go to the next carriage then. I'll see
you. But if it's just a targeted assassination of that guy because you're a lunatic, well, that's just another day in London.
Do you not wait till you got off the tube to do this as well?
He was heard say, this is not a terrorist attack. I only want him. I don't want to kill you. I'm going to kill him. He was trying to kill me. It's like, oh. Just a normal day in London. This is the normal traditions of London.
I kind of like it. It's almost ethnic commentary here, in which the chap is like, well, don't worry, I'm not a Muslim. I'm just a member of the Afro-Parabian community. We just kill each other. And everyone along the carriage is going to go, oh, fair enough.
Yeah, well, it's...
We Poles will move along.
I don't want to be a racist about it. Like, anyway, so the next one, April, again, in Elephant and Castle, the guy on a motorbike was... Essentially, they were trying to carjack his motorbike, basically. He managed to wrest a machete off one of the two men who approached him, ran away with it. So that was stolen your machete.
Wait, so he lost his bike but got a machete?
Yeah. I assume he can use that machete to get more bikes.
I traded my gun for food and water, and then they robbed me with the gun for food and water.
And again, in April 2022, just police attack with a machete. So, of course. Of course, I can't believe the machete-wielding youths who are clearly out of control don't even respect the police of vice and virtue. So, this is just like one particular tradition in London now. I mean, other traditions are like, you know,
Christmas,
raiding off licenses, just mass raiding. We get to the next one, so you see the video of like youths. Just stealing. I mean, what's the poor Bangladeshi shopkeep supposed to do? They haven't got a tradition of machete wielding.
These are rookie looters as well. What are you stealing candy bars for? Yeah, the cigarettes and the booze.
There's no penalty. They don't care. You know, no one's going to do anything.
What's this lady going to take? She took some candy. Okay.
Yeah.
Low-tier theft.
No.
I know. We'll just beat up the Indian lady instead. And take there we go.
Still some more. Oh, there we go.
Oh, just destroy it as well. Good job, lads.
Thanks so much. I mean, at least no one got macheted in this. And then, of course, you got the looting of Oxford Street, which was just... I mean, I covered this with Connor, actually. It was, probably Albanian front stores for money laundering, but still not exactly great. And I'm just like looking at this and it's like, right, okay, why any of this?
Well, because diversity is our strength.
Yeah.
But if we didn't have the diversity, then we wouldn't have this strength, Carl.
There would be far fewer
machete attacks. We have a well-trained police force thanks to this, Carl.
There would be far fewer machete attacks and, you know, mass lootings.
And I did see, I think Richard Tice has now started calling Britain Albania's Alcatraz. Don't know if you've seen that.
No, I haven't seen that.
We're actually on par. We are going to have more Albanians in British jails than the Albanians have in Albanian jails by 2026.
They're probably sending us their best.
Well, they are, literally.
They're probably literally emptying their jails and like, well, Britain will pay for this.
Well, getting caught in Albania is pretty hard. You have to be a real idiot. Whereas over here, I mean, this is the professional league for criminality, I suppose, except looting. I feel like that's pretty...
Well, apparently this just goes unpunished. And again, like going back to the chief inspector, it's like, well, look, if you've got any leads, send them through. But thoughts and prayers. It's like, okay.
But also, that last image just reminds me of just how trusting the West is. Look at that image there.
Yeah.
All those stores, just open goods.
Oh, yeah.
Just anyone could literally, like, if Law and Order broke down for 2 minutes, everything's stolen.
Well, like happening. That. Yeah. Exactly like that.
But, you know, in the hundreds of years of London's history, haven't had to worry about that.
Yeah.
Now, well, you might want to get some shutters.
Well, it used to be that the police, when a bunch of kids are murdered in a giant machete brawl, didn't just say thoughts and prayers, let us know if you get anything.
Wait, hang on. When did the police, before 1950, have to deal with massive machete brawls? Before 1980?
Well, probably never. But if they had to deal with machete brawls, they would have actually done something about them.
The Scots, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's that. It's the absolute state of London. This is their newest tradition, and it's very, very forward-thinking.
Get with the times, bro. Coming to the superintendent, who's just like, this is modern. Let's go to the video comments.
So, Carl, in reference to your bit about Hassan Piker, Sam Hyde, and man is more than adult human male, there's an ancient Greek word, andrea, which is commonly translated as courage, valor, fortitude, or strength. It refers to a certain moral fiber that's expected from a warrior. But that's not what the word comes from. It's derived from andro, man. Andrea is literally manliness. It's that spirit that is the essence of what makes a man. And that is what Hassan Piker is lacking.
That is exactly correct. And that is exactly what Sam Hyde is revealing with his Hassan, I'm coming to your house. What, in the ring? No, in real life. Hassan's like retreats to the Turk roach bunker and just like holds himself up, you know, eating his nuggies and quaking about Sam Hyde coming to his house. Like, it's just so fucking funny. Like, that's exactly what I was getting at.
There was one comment. So you know when you said Sam Hyde's giving up his boxing career and you thought this was something, but there was a guy who interpreted it a different way that I thought was far more beautiful, which is like, oh, I'm giving up my boxing career. It's not going to be in the ring anymore. Like, it's going to be in person, bro. Like, I'm going to come to your house, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I still think he should do it.
Of course he should do it.
Like, just turn up at the house and just like,
you know, right, I thought you meant Hassan should box Sam Hyde.
No. I wasn't arguing he should actually kill him either, but like, he should turn up and just stand outside. You know, like that scene from Troy, where he just shouts, Hector!
Hassan!
Just Biker! You'd love to get the
picture. God, that would be so funny.
In the middle of him streaming as well. Because then he'd probably get a message
hear this,
from his
Hassan from outside.
Yeah, like Hassan's footman would come and be terribly sorry, sir.
And then you'd have people videoing it and put it on Twitter, just so you'd get the live reaction of Hassan streaming, and the video you could like juxtapose. That's genius.
Well, what's the worst get? You'll get a restraining order on yourself from Hassan Piker. Be like, okay, I don't care.
If Hassan Piker does that, he loses and he knows it. Because the point is, look, Hassan, you're an unmanly cuck, and come and fight me. And Hassan. Yeah, exactly. What if Hector would be like, oh, I need a restraining order against Achilles?
Should get an Achilles outfit.
Like, yeah, listen, you pussy. You've got to go out and fight, even if he beats your ass. That's what it is.
Here's the next one.
Are you familiar with the general trend of Rotten Tomatoes scores?
I'm very familiar with them, yes. It's a new place that the cathedral tries to lie to us, but then the audience score puts them right.
I'm sensing a bit of a trend, and I guess we'll see tomorrow when the show comes out, but I'm not expecting the trend to break. Not this time.
I take it you didn't watch any of the Rings of Power?
I don't care.
No. Sorry. It was boring. That was the thing. Like, She-Hulk is, like, hilariously woke, right? And so they spend, like, the entire thing essentially humiliating themselves doing the story. But Rings of Power wasn't even that interesting. It was just dull, and it just dragged on. And I remember, like, each episode is an hour long. I watched the first one. About 40 minutes in, I was, oh, my God, isn't this done yet? You know, I wasn't even, like, hate watching it. I was just like, I'm enduring this.
To be honest, I had that with The Hobbit. Like, the last two movies, I ended up walking out before they finished because I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
I think it's the last one, like, the almost like the last. I watched some of the battle, and then some nonsense physics happened, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't remember what it was, but it was like when Legolas was jumping over stones that were falling, and I just went, nope, and I just left.
Yeah, yeah. The Hobbit films are generally crap. Yeah. The only thing I liked about them was Smaug, actually.
Yeah, Smaug was all right.
Yeah. That was the only good bit about him, really.
Although I do love the Rotten Tomatoes still keeps up those scores because a lot of sites don't. It still reminds me, we really should be more bitter about, well, I suppose we are, not much we can do, about YouTube and just the
downvote.
Yeah. They got rid of the dislikes. You can get an app that installs them, anyone who's wondering, by the way. But still, it's just so goddamn annoying because you know they did it just after Biden got in because every one of Biden's videos was being downvoted, including all of theirs. But then like the stuff like this happens with that speech. And unless you've got the app installed, you can't see just how much he's hated.
Yeah.
And then realize, oh, wait, all these comments are obviously bots.
Yeah.
Like a normie looking at that just sees the upvotes. Like,
that's 17,000. What they've done.
And all you see are these bots just going, oh, he's my president.
Yeah.
Awful. Let's go to the next one.
In honor of the Lotus Eaters, I had some fish and chips this weekend. Remember to enjoy the best things in life while it lasts, because, our Danish government has also warned that they may just have to shut the power this winter. And we should have the mentality of the 1970s oil crisis. Well, this beer was for the Lotus Eaters. Cheers, guys.
Yeah, time to put on a few extra pounds for the winter, folks.
Cool. Although I am utterly confused by... You need to take more pictures of whatever that fish and chips is and send us those, because it just looks weird. It
looks like an ice cream.
Yeah, I thought it was you know when you go to Legoland and it's weird themed food? Mm. Like, I thought that was a chocolate thing sticking out.
Yeah, yeah, same.
Yeah. Anyway. The next one.
So I just wanted to give a shout out to Rangel's memoir, Always With Honor. He was one of the more competent generals of the White Army during the Russian Civil War. And it's a lot more, it's like a much more digestible Gulag archipelago. The early chapters are actually very interesting because it involves him like going back from the front lines to see Moscow and seeing how the government's like keeps making concessions to all these Bolshevik people in the hopes that it will keep them from doing anything radical. Well, we saw how that worked out.
Yeah, I feel really bad for everyone on the White Army. Been watching Call Me Ezekiel series he's been doing on it, on all the different fronts. Or just every time, because it's the same story, which is just like, please, please, please win, but you know they don't. No. And then they just get so betrayed and destroyed, and you just feel bad. You ever heard any of the White Army music, like from the end?
No.
There's just like this tragic, like poetry, I guess. It's not poetry, it's music, but... Just when they're talking about the fact that, like, oh, well, there's one lyric that's actually kind of messed up, but they sing about the fact that Russia's turned their back on them as if they had mongrel blood, but apparently the word mongrel also, like, at the time meant Muslim. So it's just like, you know, as if we didn't wear the cross, Russia is treating us like we're Muslims and we're being kicked out. It's like, oh, okay, well, it's their mindset at the time. Mm. And you look at them and think, yeah, your entire country is gone. In physical combat, you've lost it all. Mm. I mean, it's like if we had a civil war here for should UK become in a sectional minoritarian place, and we are in northern Scotland waiting on the boats to go to America, and that's it. Yeah. It's done.
Well, I mean,
harrowing.
Pretty much is.
Let's go to the next one.
Two universities in town are filling with a fresh crop of students. Sitting in a bar on Saturday, I got talking to the parents of one who had come up from the US. She, a nurse dealing in infectious respiratory diseases, and he, raised Canadian, a former US Ranger now teaching rugby to girls. The conversation was a privilege and a pleasure, they being Republicans, but also against Trump, which limited my range somewhat. Later, walking to see the crazy Danish girl I know to return a plant she stole, long story, I passed bars with drag artists milling around outside. They seem determined to capture the young as they are split from their parents.
Do you feel sad for people who are transgender at this point? Like, especially the ones who go through surgery. Hmm. Like, there's people with gender dysphoria, but I'm sure over the weekend you saw there were a bunch of pictures that came up from like surgeons who were taking photos with people whose breasts they'd cut off. And they had these disgustingly like psycho eyes.
Yeah.
And then there would be like a member of the family sometimes, like a younger member of the family stood in the camera frame as well. Like there was this young boy with a little toy who was just like, I just don't want to be here.
Yeah.
This is gross and weird.
Well, I'm just kind of jaded to it now. It's like, this is our civilization.
Just all these girls with their tits missing. I was just like,
yeah.
You know you're going to regret that.
Such a massive thing to do. Yeah. But I saw the other day a tweet going around where it was some mother who's like, I will never forgive the person who did this to my daughter. And she...
Picture of the arm.
Yeah.
Skin. Missing.
Yeah. To create a fake dick. And it's, oh my God. Wuhan Wet Market says, Carl, are we going to get another They Hate You stream anytime soon? Maybe. Colin says, I listened to the Sebastian Gorka interview on the way back from Wales yesterday. Very good interview. I think the main reason for all the January 6th persecutions is to find something to make Trump ineligible to stand for election. Yeah, that's, you know, and also to penalize the people who support Trump, you know, because they are the, like, the Jews as far as the Biden regime are concerned. They have to be persecuted. Baron Warhawk says, all right, boys, let's put them on a giant stage with armed guards and bright blood-red lights, and that will make our senile old leader look like a strong leader that can rally the troops. Nothing go wrong. Hashtag pedo Hitler starts trending on Twitter. Oh, no. But that was the thing. It's like, okay, pedo Hitler's kind of offensive to Hitler. Because no one ever accused him of being a pedo.
How old was his niece? Well, there's this, it's never been proven.
Right.
But there's this story that goes that he had this weird close relationship with his niece. Like, at one point, he just decides that she should come with him on all of his rallies and won't let him leave. And, like, he thought she was starting to have a relationship with, like, one of the guards or something. Right. So he became super protective and wouldn't let her leave the house when he was away. She ended up killing herself to get away from Hitler.
So very much like Joe Biden and his daughter Ashley.
Although she died at 23. So, yeah, you know, Hitler, not as pedo as Joe Biden.
So, actually just the same thing. Bleach Demon says, Biden's call to action is reminiscent of a rallying a nation to war, akin to Bush's 9/11 speech. Never have I heard a domestic speech that is this openly hostile to half the nation. Even Hillary's basket of deplorables seems polite by comparison. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's like literally declaring war on the undesirables. And it's like, okay, but like, where do you think this goes? You know, what's next? And you've been persecuting them as much as you can anyway. You're doing everything you can to persecute Trump. Like, it's so obviously you're in Banana Republic territory, and that's not good.
Because it's obvious that he also doesn't actually have any power in these things. Hmm. So the Republican Party itself, he has no power to stop them from advancing MAGA.
Hmm.
Okay, so you've lost that battle. There's no point even talking about that. It's over.
Yeah.
And in which case, okay, when it comes to people winning seats and taking stuff from you politically, like you are in the toilet. Like, you are losing on that front. So you've got no power there to really change things.
Hmm.
So that's why I think genuinely they were just going to go for state force, like stop Trump running.
Yeah, and it definitely comes from a position of complete fear and weakness. Like, strong people don't need to do stuff like that. And Kevin here says, the Rwanda comment may not be far off the mark. However, if Biden pushes his rhetoric and attacking Republicans at least civil war, perhaps someone should point out to him that all the states where food and oil are produced are predominantly Republican. Good luck sending a regiment of California soy boys to take out the Texas ranchers' militias, Joe. Well, they're purging the military for a reason, right? They're, you know, progressivizing the military. So
there are a bunch of patches we found in one of the bazaars in Kabul, left by the Americans.
Yeah.
There were some really progressive ones that were really cringe as well. Like, I'm a strong, independent black woman and stuff like that. It's just like, okay, right. There are also My Little Pony ones.
Yeah, but they've been doing this on purpose. I think they're kind of preparing for it, frankly. I think they know that that's where this goes. And I think they're doing what they can to provoke it. Andrew says, and I do think that they're trying to lure the Republicans out. Go on, do something that allows us to persecute you. That's what they're asking. Andrew says, the Democrats have decided to set themselves up as implacable foes of the Republicans and centrists. Compromise and civility seem to be rejected by the left. Joe Biden has unified the America like Jefferson Davis did for the Civil War. Free Will says, first rule of totalitarianism, accuse your opponents of what you intend to do. Yeah, that was another thing. The whole speech was just projection. Oh, I'm a great unifier, except for those horrible people who we need to eradicate.
It's a beautiful speech.
Baron von
Adolf Hitler, the great unifier. Yeah, exactly. According to Joe Biden, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's just Baron von Moore again. Honestly, who thought these optics were a good idea? When have the colors red and black ever been associated with the good guys? That's a great question. Lord Nerevar says, everyone online has been commenting about the appearance of Biden during the speech, back with red glowing lights like some sort of Star Wars villain, ranting and raving like a mid-century dictator and flanked by national, brackets, royal guard troops, every part of the fascist dictator. But the content of his speech fit the stage. Demonizing a massive chunk of the population as extremists and traitors sounds exactly like the sort of stab in the back myth to me, like the build-up to some horrible atrocity. Yeah, I'm genuinely concerned about it. And I'm not saying that like Biden's going to do X, Y, or Z or anything like that, but it's like, if he ends up doing it, that this will be the sort of thing that will be pointed to as on the road to the terrible atrocity. This was a warning sign.
Yeah, I mean, this is the traitor speech.
Yeah. That's what, exactly. And so, not good. Charlie says, regarding Biden's speech, it reminds me a lot of the film V for Vendetta. It seems like Biden watched it one too many times. It turns out any more like Adam Sutler from the comic, it explained the fetishism of Silicon Valley has with him. Bleach Demon, Sieg Democracy. The 200-year Biden Reich has begun. Dark Brandon has liberated us from the tyranny of freedom. Democracy shakes hands in the air. But yeah, that's the thing. It's like this weird fetishization of democracy. Democracy, democracy. I'm like, I'm just kind of sick of hearing the word democracy at this point.
Well, it's never been an Anglosphere thing.
No, it's a French thing.
Until the left took it on. I don't know what period. I imagine you can look back at the different speeches of the Democrats over the years and find the point. But they it ramped up.
Yeah.
In the same way you have those graphs of, you know, when did time start using racism all the time.
I imagine it's going to have been bad Barmer. Free Will says, the rhetoric has reached very bad levels. This is not good. The CCP must be laughing themselves silly. But it does go to show, like, the insecurity of Biden's position. He's got to keep pushing. Like, you're in charge, dude. You know, you've got your political enemies in jail.
Don't feel like it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because the MAGA Republicans keep saying, oh, the election was stolen, the election was stolen. And I just can't get them to shut up. You know, and I need them to shut up, and therefore. Sophie says, even the skin tone looks slightly green in this light. Lizard man. Yeah, I think it's just bad lighting. Because, I mean, let's be fair.
Did you see the CNN?
Yeah, they recolored it as well, didn't they?
Poso has the video of it. Like, you literally see, like, it zooms in, and then the whole thing goes red.
Yeah.
And then you literally see them, like, changing the white balance or whatever.
Can we make it less red?
Yeah, so it all goes pink.
Nice try. Henry says, the NHS saying the diverse population should be seen first is a chilling statement with the NHS waiting time issues. So on the local news a while ago that some elderly people were stuck waiting 20 hours for an ambulance after a fall, and in one case they died. Great optics. Well, minoritarian society, isn't it? Thomas says, NHS, don't just see people, collect them. I mean, that's literally what the NHS is doing.
Yeah.
It's just awful. I can't take it, man.
State healthcare. I mean, this is one of the things that isn't actually spoken about in that debate in the United States.
Mm.
I mean, there's the one part that once you have state-run healthcare, the state has an interest in people's health.
Mm.
So we ban sugar and stuff like that. The Americans have the freedom to kill themselves for what we don't. Yeah. But also, state ideology becomes part of the healthcare system. Like, just openly and constantly.
Yep.
Whereas it just, you know, if you're a private-run hospital in the United States, you probably don't have to deal with that in the same way.
Yep.
You have to deal with the employees, Paul, but not from the federal government.
Yeah, and the NHS is insufferably woke. The Conservatives keep saying how they're going to do something about it, but don't.
There was a guy at that conference at the Witham we went to, and he was a doctor. He was telling me, yeah, everyone thinks the clapping thing was cringe.
Good.
Like, none of the nurses like it.
Good.
Like, yeah.
Too busy doing the TikTok dances.
Not all of them.
Sophie says, just saying, here in Denmark, we've abolished all blasphemy laws, with specific reasoning that if God is real, he doesn't need our laws to protect him. Okay, that would be nice, but unfortunately, our blasphemy laws are de facto blasphemy laws, whereas it's not about God, it's about offense to Muslims, and so...
And they are God.
Yes. Also, I'm trying to think if I've ever seen a Muslim cop in Denmark. Nope, I have not, not that I can think of. We had one Muslim politician. My God, can you even imagine? Well, the Conservative Party is going to be run by Muslims in the next 5-10 years.
Mashallah.
Nazar Kadar, and honestly, he was a blessing. He fled from Syria and had been entirely anti-Islam and anti-Islamic extremism since day one, warning us about the Taliban and ISIS and extremism. So that man is a big reason why Denmark is more based than other countries around her. He openly said, these mosques are sus, because he was a Syrian refugee. He was allowed to say it, and we can investigate and conclude, yeah, this ain't good. Be nice, wouldn't it? Thomas says, it's not the jihadi police, it's Boko Haram. Get it right. Andrew says, Islam has always been a foe of the West. Unlike the West, they remember the centuries of warfare where they sought to conquer Europe from both East and West. Yeah, it's weird, like, hearing the Spanish being like, yes, we are tolerant and inclusive of Islam. It's like, what?
But they give the land back.
Yeah. Yeah. The Moors are coming and knocking. I don't know.
Moroccan government are like, yes.
I went on a holiday to Spain a few years ago, and, like, you know, you go to, like, you know, some medieval Spanish castle or something, and they've got paintings on the walls, and they're just all Spanish people killing Muslims. Because, obviously.
Same in Austria.
Yeah, that's their history. And it's like, okay, so now what? The progressives are going to, kind of that. Colin says, this is the modern Met police under Sadiq Kant. These tweets are probably what got her in the job in the first place.
Ah, so I see you were proof of 9/11. It's another diversity box ticked.
Prove him wrong, that's all I'm saying.
People 9/11 deniers, eh?
X, Y, and Z says, it's machetes at dawn. Like, no, it wasn't even dawn. It's at midnight on a Sunday. 100 people get together with machetes and have a fight. What the total degeneracy of this community, though, right? Like the downward trajectory. How much worse does it get than a midnight Sunday machete brawl over not being able to get into a party?
Afghanistan was actually more tolerant than that, like more organized.
It's just like, it's less hellish.
Yeah. Like, there's less chance of you just being killed at random nonsense.
Yeah. Kevin's like, 100 people fighting with machetes at midnight is a disturbance. Yeah, police were called to a disturbance. I mean, like, it's literally
just one guy
battle.
Who wakes up and goes, oh, they're at it again.
Thoughts and prayers. 20 white guys tearing at a pub.
You can imagine that, calling 999 and getting a robot being like, if you're in the middle of a machete ball, we send thoughts and prayers your way.
20 white guys tearing up a pub would be a violent confrontation. Yeah. Ignacio says, it's not ethnic profiling if we have hundreds of prior examples. Says you.
if it's the only profile.
Bilbo Baggins says, Tom Harwood says that something happened in the 90s that led to a massive spike in machete wars in London. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. That's like, you're literally getting to battle sizes. We've got like 100 people brawling.
I mean, should the English community start forming, like, you know, longbowmen militias?
Not against it. It's not illegal to own a longbow. Yet. Colin says, Sadiq Khan must be having a hard time deciding how to class machete attacks. Does he go for another shining example of diversity in action, or just part and parcel of living in a modern diverse city? It's got to be part and parcel, right? So, you know, terror attacks, just part and parcel, apart from in Tokyo. You know, machete attacks, just part and parcel, apart from in Tokyo. It's like, weird. Free Will says, thanks, Labour and Tories. Between you, you've really improved the country in the last 20 years. You must be so proud, wankers. Jonathan Crowe says, London is one of those places that makes the argument for a return to tradition. I, for one, want to get myself some chainmail whenever I visit. Normalise wearing armour. That's terrible, isn't it? Like, I'm going to London, so I'm going to put the chainmail on.
I quite like the former protest. Because I remember when they made wearing masks mandatory on trains, Peter Hitchens and a few other guys started wearing gas masks. You know, just a complete overreaction on purpose, so how stupid it was.
Yeah.
So just the version of when you go to London now, you have to wear like plate armour or chainmail.
Casey says, if Britain doesn't start actively deporting machete-wielding criminals and end both illegal and legal immigration, you're not going to have a country. Yes, that's true. I mean, Tower Hamlets is not very populated with the English community.
Yeah, it's also depopulated of Jews.
I can imagine.
I don't know if you know the history there, but yeah, all the Jews that used to live there have gone. Like, the bad man was actually doing a documentary about a guy who died there. It's just like, yeah. If you look on a map, just where are the synagogues? It's like there's a big circle around London, and there's a big hole in the middle where there's just none. And,
Tower Hamlets, eh? Yeah. Baron von Warg says, wow, England really does seem like a dangerous place. If only there was some magic device that could protect you from machete attacks. Yeah, but the thing is, if guns became normalized in Britain, then they'd upgrade from machetes. It'd be like Chicago. Like, it'd be like everywhere else. So, there's that.
America didn't have that problem before. Everyone had guns. Didn't have mass shootings all the time. Now they do.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Must be the guns. Ewan says, I used to love London as a kid. I hate it when I go there now. Yeah, me too. Me too. I remember, like, going to London was an adventure when I was a kid. Like, it was something interesting because you didn't think you were going to get machete attacked in the street.
Not also because you're a kid, though.
Hmm?
Not also because you're a kid.
Yeah, but it's like, it's gross. Yeah. Ignacio says, these are not machete attacks. No, no, no. They are bringing the cutting edge of cultural enrichment. Very good.
We should make some mock propaganda that says that.
Yeah. Yeah, we should.
Mayor of London symbol in the corner.
Yeah. Chad Koala says, if the bobbies won't stop machete brawls, perhaps they should just issue machete licenses for the participants and let the public place bets. Yeah, but it's not like these participants are going to go get machete licenses. They're not going to bother. They're like, okay, now you're breaking the law by having an illegal machete, and then the machete the cop, like they did in one of those stories. It's mental.
You know, they also banned zombie knives because of all this
stuff.
Just like knives that are made to look scary.
If
like,
only we'd banned the machetes, this problem would have gone away.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Machetes have existed for thousands of years, and you've never had this problem before. Must be the machetes.
Dylan says, don't lose the island yet, boys. I haven't been watching Carl this long just to see things fall apart before I get a deep think on how to make real tea. But it's really bad, though. Like, things are... Like, how much worse can things get?
In 2030, we're in exile in China, making videos about British culture, trying to keep it alive like the Russian emigres.
And the thing is, the Chinese probably won't even censor us.
No. It's like with the white Russians. There was just sort of like a curiosity at that point.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, I don't really care about internal Chinese politics. So, like, we don't really talk about it because it's not really something I find interesting. So the Chinese state will have no reason to censor us. What are they talking about? Well, the collapse of Britain. Oh, let them go. And Beggar Hero says, don't quote me, apparently Liz Truss won the party vote. Will she lose Boris's majority in the next election? Let's talk about Liz Truss, Callum. How do you feel about it?
I even forgot to vote. I was just too busy. So didn't get to. Would have voted for Liz over other man anyway, but it doesn't matter.
Rishi Sunak?
Yeah, same thing.
Not voting for Brown Tony Blair?
No. So I guess Rassismus won this one. Misogyny didn't win this one, unfortunately. So there's that. Third woman prime minister, Carl. Woo!
Labour must be actually grinding their teeth at this point. Can't even get a woman party leader.
No. I genuinely...
Somehow.
You remember when you were reading that thing, though, and the guy said, you know what, we'll deal with the channel migrants once and for all. When in the next election we get a stalking majority.
Yeah.
I do wonder if there are people that retarded at CCHQ right now who are thinking, well, we've got to run an election now. Like, we've got Liz Truss, how can we lose?
God. Oh, God. I mean...
Do you imagine if they do? Like Theresa May.
I've heard people speaking about an election and, like, you know, all the commentary at are like, oh, well, you know, there's going to be an election. It's like...
Why?
Well, because Liz Truss gave them a 3-point bump in the polls. But the thing is, they're at, like, you know, minus 15 points.
So they'll only lose 50 seats.
Ooh. Yes. Well, 80 seats or something.
And the government.
Yeah, and the government. I mean, like, Liz Truss isn't that bad, though, right? She is vaguely based on issues.
Like most other people we've had in the last few years, they'll say things whilst being running for, you know, to be PM from inside the party, because the party's membership is quite based.
Mm.
But once they get into that throne, they just deflate. And I'm expecting her to do the same. I mean, it's not going to happen, but I imagine if she turned around and just was like, right, okay, critical race theory banned, redoing the whole schooling system.
Didn't she actually Didn't she actually do some stuff, though?
Yeah, so her main achievements in our realm would be the fact that she got Stonewall defunded massively.
Yeah.
Not fully, but she did do it.
Yeah.
So glory to her on that. She, in the equality department, got Kemi to give that speech saying that critical race theory couldn't be taught in schools without an opposing view being represented and showing that it's controversial, which not far enough, but okay. Other stuff, I think she did trade deals, which is neat.
So, I mean, it's not like she hasn't done anything, you know. She has done some things.
Yeah.
She's just a really uninspiring person.
I just don't trust that once she gets in there, well, she'll continue to do anything good.
Obviously.
I think, like everyone else, once you get to that throne, it just... Their orientation about what's important suddenly changes massively. I don't know what it is about that seat that does it, but...
There has to be, like, just someone being like, this is the way it's going to be, or else tragedy happens, and there's just no debating it. Like, okay, well, I guess it's got to be this way.
I mean, maybe the civil service just scare you so much that then you end up agreeing with them on everything.
Maybe. Raymond says, for Carl, do you think there's any way out of this dilemma? Go vote. Liz Truss.
A bit more specific about which dilemma?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think that... I mean, at the very least, it requires the Conservative Party to get such a thorough thrashing that the Blairite elements of it have to be extirpated forever, right? That has to at least be point one. But, like, I can already hear the looming laughter of Peter Hitchens being like, you think that'll work?
In the 1990s, they'll do the same thing they did then, which is, well, clearly that we lost is evidence that we weren't left-wing enough.
Yeah.
Exactly, just want to bash your head against a wall.
Yeah. So they will come back even more Blairite than they were before. And for some reason, the public will go like, yeah, I like that.
Frank, as annoying as it is, the reality fundamentally comes down to an alternative party which could do damage and therefore do good things in this realm. Annoyingly, it probably just has to have Nigel Farage. Just set it up, do the thing. I know he wouldn't want to do it, but like do it for like 2 years and then hand it over to someone else and have it be a proper thing instead of your own personality cult. And then you could have effective dissent in party politics, but till then. I mean, there are just these small white guys who are doing the Lord's work. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work, but you aren't 14%. And that's where you need to be, really.
Hmm. James asks, he says, not a question, but a topic suggestion. The Portuguese dictator Salazar may have been an actual right-wing dictator. Can wiser people than me discuss? Do you know anything about Salazar?
Not enough. No? No. I know he's a really interesting character and complex.
Did he wear a cape?
Don't think he wore a cape.
Right, he's not very interesting.
But I do find the really like everyone's decolonizing, and he just goes, no. Like, what are you talking about? Mozambique is ours forever. Because they kept funding Rhodesia during it to try and slow colonization, stop it. Because it's like, if Rhodesia can survive, then we don't have to decolonize. Because well, look, everything went to crap, and then Rhodesia saved the world.
Mm.
So, but then he lost. But
I'll get you a book on him if you want.
I have to look into him because it's.
It's your wheelhouse.
Because he's also our ally still. Because we've been allied with Portugal all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So technically that fascist was our ally. Even in World War II.
I'll get you a book on him.
We'll have a look. But otherwise, we're out of time. So if you want more from us, go over to lotuseaters.com, of course. But otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.